word to us. 1 Peter, wherefore laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all speaking, evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believeth, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Amen. We thank God for King James, it's pretty cunning. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we go through your word. We ask that you strengthen us, that you sanctify us in your truth, because, Father, we know, even though we stutter, even though we have tongues of clay, your word is true. We ask that you do this for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. We talk about the blessings of being in the body of Christ. We talk about how we are equipped. The previous chapter to this really talks about, if you were to look at chapter 1, to know who you are in Christ. Sometimes I can lose sight of that. I don't know if you do. But sometimes I can lose sight of that. To know who we are in Jesus Christ. That we are more than conquerors. That we are victorious. Because Christ Jesus has redeemed us. He has given us his works. It's called an imputed righteousness. And that now we are a light to this world. We are not that light, but we represent the light of Jesus Christ. This text really brings that out very strongly. And I like how, really, when you look at chapter 1, how it kind of opens up in this way. He says very plainly, now prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded in all that you do. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. To understand this, that now we have become partakers of God's grace by the revelation of Jesus Christ, of who he is. That alone we can say amen. And we can move forward from there. We could turn in reality and say, I have received exactly what I need, that now I understand that by the revelation of Jesus Christ, by the strength of the Holy Spirit, now I understand the grace that I've been given. We had a song, it was Count Your Blessings, right? And I had someone that told me, he said, not only count your blessings, but actually live them. To live in your blessings. And I think there is actually a credence to that. That we pay respect to that kind of statement. Not only just to sit by in the evening and sit in our lazy boy and count our blessings and say, boy, am I blessed because I have children. This thing is driving me nuts. Because I have children. But actually to turn around and actually enjoy your children. To take the moments. If I could ever If I could ever plead with a young parent to enjoy these moments. I know that all of you elders, and I'm starting to get to be in that group now, we know it goes fast. There are days, no doubt, it feels like it's never going to end. But they grow so fast. To take the time. I've tried to encourage some young men that work in contracting, take your Saturdays off. Spend time with the family, even if it's just doing yard work at home. Allow your boys, allow your daughters to work with you. Don't go tell them, go do it, then you go off and do your own. And I know that life can be difficult. I know that our finances can pile up, and we feel like if we work that one extra day, maybe we'll have a little more, but do we ever? The fact of it is, I wish I had controlled my life a little more on the financial end so I could have spent more time with my family. I'm the one that signed my name there. Take time for your family. Take time, in reality, to enjoy those moments. Peter really is trying to encourage us to understand who we are and what we have done. In other words, what has been done for us, is a better term. That we are victorious in Jesus Christ and we are his children. And so, know who you are. By love, we have been restored. Just continue to live in that restoration. Continue to share it with your kids, your grandkids, wherever it may be. Just share it. So he opens up with our text after understanding, bringing us through this understanding that we now have this hope, and in this hope we have grace, and it's been brought to us by the revelation of Jesus Christ, that we have been redeemed, he says in verse 19 of the same chapter 1, if we've been redeemed, bought back by the blood of Christ. He says, so put away all malice. This is where our text really comes up. Put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. If I could say a very blunt statement, life is too short. It really is. Life is too short to have grudges. Life is too short to have these battles and these victories. We are the children of God, blessed with such a great inheritance, that we in reality are a hope to this world by the finished work of Jesus Christ. And he says, so lay aside whatever is in front of you. Lay aside. I've encountered a few people in my life that have this ability. That they literally can kind of forgive and move on. Jesse isn't always that quick. It's kind of interesting. I'm not, and I have to admit it. Maybe you are better at it. Praise God for that gift, because that is a gift. But really, Peter's just trying to tell us, put everything away. Lay it down. He said, and be like newborn infants. Be like newborn infants. I want you to think about that for a moment. As children of God, are we as newborn infants? And think about an infant. An infant depends solely on that provision that mother can give. And we turn around and we understand the infant doesn't get up in the morning and go do this and this and this and try to straighten out this issue and that issue. God will give us the ability in our life to help in certain areas. But when he's talking about matters of faith and salvation, he's very straightforwardly saying, he has a newborn baby. What do infants do? They can't help themselves. He says, long for that pure and spiritual milk. As a newborn infant craves for its mother's milk, and actually is sustained by the mother's milk, we also now need to be craving and understand our sustenance comes from God's word, is really what he's bringing out here. He says, long for that spiritual and that pure milk. He says, that by it you may grow into salvation. He's not talking about progressive sanctification. In other words, the more you know, the more saved you are. He's talking about what Paul talks in the aspect of maturity of faith. A maturity of faith. That yes, by the grace of God, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, by the faith in our life, no doubt about it, salvation is secure. We praise God for that. If I could say it in a very plain term, we're in. Are we done growing? Are we done maturing? Are we done learning?
I pray that never pays.
The day that I feel I got it all figured out, that I know everything there is about Christianity, I pray God takes me out of this pulpit. We're always growing, maturing, and learning. I pray we are. And so he says that now we would grow really up into salvation, to understand that we are fed by God. We crave God's word. We desire to understand more. And then he turns around and he says, on this condition, if indeed you've tasted the Lord is good. In other words, you've had the blessing of God in your life. You bring satisfaction. That to me is very amazing. He says, desire that milk. He says that you may continue to mature and grow. He said, if you've tasted that the Lord is good, in other words, tasting that he's good, have receiving satisfaction, you'll desire more. I've tasted a lot of foods in my life, there's no doubt about it, and I'm starting to show. But the fact of it is, I've found satisfaction in a lot of things that I've eaten, and it hasn't prevented me from going back. I still desire to have a little more. Because I understand and I know that even that food, that material good that I take in, it keeps my body alive. And I might overdo it in certain areas, but trust me, in the spiritual milk, I don't think we can overdo it. I don't think we're going to become spiritually fat. But we sure can become spiritually fit. And I want you to think about that for a moment. I'm going to pick on one of my sons. Now, I know my sons, he works out like crazy. He's very health conscious about his body, and he goes up to the gym at least 4 times a week, I think. And he's a lot bigger than I am up here. I'm a lot bigger than he is right here. But the fact of it is, he eats a lot. He takes in a lot of calories. I'm sitting here wondering if I can stay under my 2,000 mark, right? He's hoping to hit 4. Because he's utilizing it. He's working out. Take in that spiritual. Take in that spiritual. And I really believe that in all honesty, it's like bodybuilding, if I can say it that way. You'll become more spiritually fit. You're not going to get fat. And that really is something that he's bringing out here. Long for it. Desire for it. Crave for it. That you would have this ability to grow strong in your salvation. And this all it goes back to the beginning where I said, spend more time with your family, spend more time in encouragement, because this is who you are. You are raising up in reality the children of God. But are we fit? And that would be another question that I would ask. We have a Sunday school here. Praise God for that. We've had a good superintendent. We've had dedicated teachers. It's hard to get teachers. But are we only relying on these people to raise up our children? Or do we take an active role in sharing one of the most beautiful gifts because we have taken in that milk and we desire to continue to share it with those around us, especially our children? He says, if you've tasted that the Lord is good, continue in that food. He says, as you come to him, the living stone, that's Jesus, rejected by men, we understand that, in the whole crucifixion, rejected. He says, but in the sight of God, this Jesus is chosen and most precious. He says, you yourselves, like living stones, in other words, by the faith that you have in Christ, you become partakers in this living stone. He says, are being built up into a spiritual house. Have you ever thought about that? Do we just rely on one or two individuals in the body of Christ? Or do we also see that we are part of the priesthood? That we are all living stones in the body of Christ, building the temple of God, if you can say, in an earthly fashion. That we are participants. Now, I'm not asking anybody now that they got to start running around telling everybody how to live and how to do, but by our example, by our love, by our encouragement, we can definitely show forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ. We may impact people in different ways. Some of us may may be more zealous. We may have more evangelistic skills. Some of us may be more quiet in the background, but still leading people to the Lord by example, by work, by faith, as unto the Lord. It's kind of interesting because when I turn around and I think about different people in the congregation, I remember having a conversation with one of the community members about Pete Sandretto. Remember him? He lived to be, 101 or something? He was awesome. But I guess he used to mow the lawn here. And he mowed the lawn here, and he'd drive his little lawnmower tractor, I guess, over from the street. And a lot of neighbors knew that Pete was having to go mow the lawn. And his act of service spoke to this community member of how he was dedicated to do his part. He exemplified the faith that he had by coming here and serving. Mowing the lawn. So then, maybe not everybody can mow the lawn, because maybe they don't have time. But then I heard from Pete how he was mowing the lawn all the time. He said, "And my lawnmower, it died. I was trying to mow my lawn, I was mowing the church lawn, and the mower lawn. Maybe not everybody can mow the lawn." But another member of the congregation heard that his lawnmower died, so they bought him a new one. Because that's the gift that they have. They had the ability to provide him with a new lawnmower so that he could continue to use his gift of time to serve the church. And that reflected all the way back to the community member who observed all this. Isn't that amazing? We're living stones in the body of Christ, showing the example of God's love to all around us. And we might not be standing up holding a banner, "Jesus loves you." But we definitely, by our acts of service and love and commitment, even to each other, can speak boldly to a community around us that needs to hear. Needs to hear. He says, "You're living stones built up into a spiritual house. Be a holy priesthood." This is not just talking about Buffy standing behind a pulpit. It talks about all of us as believers. He says, "To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God." How? Through Jesus Christ. "That we do all things as unto the Lord, not for the glory of men." Pete wasn't out there with a little banner on the back of his lawnmower driving, "I'm heading to Zion, mow their lawn, because that's who I am." He saw God's house of worship, needed some service done, he did it. And when, because after doing it for so many times, he could no longer do it because his machine broke, somebody else stepped in with their gift and did it. But there wasn't a banner. It was all done by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Know who you are. You are a living stone. You are a child of God, redeemed and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't do these things because we have to. We do these things because we're called to in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We don't do good works to be saved. Because we have been saved, we desire to do. It's just an amazing thing. He says, "For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion." And this is a place of a defense, is really what this would bring out. "I'm laying in Zion, a cornerstone, chosen and precious." Jesus is what he's talking about. The foundation of this church, if you could say it, the body of Christ. He says, "I'm laying this cornerstone." And a cornerstone in construction is extremely important. Everything is off of that. It's true, it's level, it's plumb, whatever your word may be. Because everything up, out, and down will actually be laid out according to this stone. It's the cornerstone. And it's kind of interesting if you look at a lot of buildings, in older buildings, they'll have a cornerstone and have a date, maybe who did what. Because that's the keystone of that whole thing. But the fact of it is, he says, "I am laying a cornerstone. It's chosen." In other words, God did this choosing. He is precious. Whoever believes in him, in Christ, says, will not be put to shame. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be like, "Oh my goodness, I'm ashamed." It actually has more of an understanding in the Greek to be let down. You will never be disappointed. You will not be let down. God will be there for you. He will provide. Sometimes our expectations might be a little higher than what God would want, but He will continue to sustain you, to provide for you, and to give. You will not be put to shame. He says, so honor. So the honor is for you who believe. In other words, the honor of being a living stone, the honor of being part of the temple of God. He says, this is a place of honor. To know who you are. He says, it's for each and every one who believe. But to those who don't believe, the stone that the builders rejected, and actually has turned around and become the cornerstone of all things, everything is built off of, he says, for those that you don't believe, it doesn't matter. That's a very simple term of saying. What good is it? He says very strongly, he says, this now, cornerstone, that actually was set up by God, the builders rejected it. In other words, those that were previous, they were rejecting this, saying Jesus is not the one. There's no doubt about that. There was a struggle there. He says, it actually becomes, and we see this with Christ, a stone of stumbling, a skandalon in the Greek. A stone of stumbling. That's what it becomes. An offense. How many times, if we could be honest with ourselves, have things become an offense to us that maybe, I'm going to be very blunt, many times in my life, I can't speak for you, I thought God was against me, He was quite for me, and I saw it as a rock of offense, but actually it was for my encouragement. Thanks be to God, He allowed me by the grace of Jesus Christ to continue to believe in Him and trust Him, to see the good in Him. But these rejected. They could not be beyond themselves. And it becomes a rock of offense, a stumbling. And they stumble because in reality they don't believe His word. They reject Christ. They reject the victory. So it becomes, they stumble because they do not believe His word. They disobey His word. And they were in reality destined to because they trusted in man more than God. But you, and now He speaks to all of us that believe, He says, you are this chosen race. You are the royal priesthood. God chose us through Jesus Christ. That's really what He's bringing out here. He knew the world would go after everything else. He knew that His own people would reject Him. So now, it's not that we chose Him. It's rather that He chose us. Even as Gentiles, as I'm sure most of us, a majority of us in here, are not Israelites by nation. We are Gentiles. We've been grafted in. Chosen of them. And it's extremely powerful to understand and to know that God desired for restoration for all of us. He says, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are in fact Israel together. He says, a people for whom His own possession. He bought us. And how does He say that? It says very plainly in verse 18, we were ransomed, and by verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without blemish or spot. Very plainly, He says, we were bought, we were purchased as His own possession, that you may proclaim His excellency to each and every one, His excellency of Him that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Isn't that what the Gospel of John says? That He is a light of the world. He is a light that lighteth men. He has given us this light. He says, before this, before Christ came, before Christ opened this door, if I could say it in our language, you didn't have an identity. You were lost. He says, you weren't a people. But now, you are God's people. Because He chose you, He gave His gift for you. He's given the ability and He's given the grace that you may believe this message even today. That we would have that hope. And see, in all of this, the one thing to understand is God desired us. He desired restoration for us. Why? Very plain and simply, even so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. 17 says he did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that rather through him it might be saved. God loves us. To know who we are. We are the children of God, and whom he loves and desires, whom he gives restoration for, whom he makes us living stones by grace through faith in the temple of God. That we are a light in this world, not by our own ability, by the light that shineth in us, Jesus the Christ. He says, before this you didn't have a hope. He says, once you had not received mercy, because you couldn't obtain it on your own, he says, but now you have. Because God has chosen to give. Because he loves. Then he turns around and he says, beloved. And that's what I think is so cool about this. Peter now is saying, you are loved. He's bringing it all back to that understanding. He says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners, as those that are traveling upon this earth, as exiles, in other words, that you don't have a place technically in this world, to abstain, in other words, keep yourself from the passions of flesh. He says, which war against your soul. In other words, live in him. Be encouraged by him. And this to me is such an amazing thing, because it doesn't just technically talk about the earthly things that we may do or not do. He's not talking about legalism as we often have a tendency on how to dress, how to drive, what to do, this or that. Where did he start with this conversation? With that spiritual food. As innocent infants desiring that spiritual food. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not about red cars. It's not about our fashion style. It's about understanding the Word of God and knowing His truth, being partakers in this truth, and sharing it with those around us. That's really what he speaks about in my opinion. I shouldn't even say my opinion. I believe very strongly. He's not talking about just external things. He goes back as newborn infants, long for that spiritual milk, that you may continue to grow in this salvation. Mature. Are we mature? Are we learning? Are we sharing? Are we encouraging? He says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles. And in the Gentiles now, I want you to think about this for a minute. In our day and age, I very strongly believe it means unbelievers. Unbelievers. Oftentimes, we have a tendency as people to cut off unbelievers. He says, conduct yourself among the Gentiles, unbelievers, honorably. Live honorably among them. So that even if they had the opportunity to speak evil of you, that they would see your good works. In other words, what God has wrought in you through Jesus Christ. For what purpose? That they may glorify God. We say this a lot, and probably haven't heard it in a while. We are the living Bible that the world reads. What's our translation? Is it truth? Or is it man's understanding? Are we desiring for that sincere milk of God that we may be fed so that we can encourage? Or do we have our own understanding? May God grant us the grace to understand that it is by grace through faith of his finished work, given by the power of his word, instituted by the Holy Spirit in our lives, to be a living stone in his kingdom. To share with the world that so desperately needs to hear it. It's not about my car, my hair, whatever our hobby verse is for our sin of the day. It's about the love of Jesus Christ and that sincerity. For God so loved the world. May we remember that as we come here for communion. May we remember we are participating and taking in reality the elements of that communion for the strengthening of our faith, that we may also be encouraged. in these days. Encourage, God is good. And if God is good, He's given us good things. And we can be a blessing by that power in this world. Be a light. For Jesus' name. Today is Holy Communion, so we will pray with and for them to partake of the Lord's Holy Supper.